Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Good to see all of you again. And some of you probably, you still think I'm a new face here, I'm new kids on the block. It is true. My wife and I, we've been traveling between Guam and Taiwan, and we attended Guam Church. Also is the Every Nation Church in Guam, Pastor Mark. And we're coming over, we just served Pastor Bruce. So we kind of alternate between the two places. So if you don't see us here, it's not because we backslid. We just, we were serving God in another Every Nation Church. So I just want to let you know that how grateful we are to be part of this body of Christ. We truly enjoy it. We enjoy Pastor Bruce and Terry, and we enjoy the team that we have over here, the leadership team, and we enjoy all of you. And my wife and I, we every time we get a chance, we just want to be part of it. We jump in. As soon as we come back to Taiwan, we jump in with the 2 feet. We just want to be involved right away. Last week, we were in the Chinese service in the afternoon, and this week, we were in the English service in the morning. Anyway, I want to share with you something that's really practical this time. Pastor Bruce shared with me that, Pastor Timothy, you can share anything you want to share that God put in your heart. And last week, I attended the afternoon service, and Pastor Bruce talked about the capital campaign for the new location, and it really deeply touched my heart. I really felt that the Lord want us to all join in, to all participate, all be part of that, supporting and contributing to this new place that God's going to place us. So, anyway, at the end of the service, I'm not the type of person that just go by emotions. I've been really praying and seeking the Lord and waiting for God to really confirm that in my spirit. But anyway, at the end of the service, the Lord just put a number in me. And at the very beginning, when I first heard that number, I said, "Devil, get behind me." You know, I began to see that, no, that's too much. But anyway, the Lord put that number in me, and later on, I feel so strongly confirmed in my spirit, because all of a sudden, after that, the heart was beating so fast. After the start of that, when I say, "Yes, Lord," all of a sudden, I calm down. I feel so peaceful. I had such a joy afterwards. I couldn't wait to tell Pastor Bruce and Terry, and I know that Pastor Bruce was a little shocked too. But anyway, why am I sharing this with a reason? So there's nothing for me to hear, to brag anything about, but I just want you to know we want to give all we can to help with this campaign. And we know that this is just the beginning of it, and God want to put even more in our heart to serve this local church. And we wanted you to know that we're here to encourage you. And so after that, I shared with my wife. I told Pastor Bruce that even though my wife was there at the time, but she's more generous than me. So you can trust God will say to her the same thing. When I go home, when I told my wife what we want to give to the church, and she said, "Hallelujah." You know, she would just, she always outgive me. So anyway, I just feel the Lord just really wants you to know this morning. Hopefully this word will help you to understand that God is a mighty God. God's a supernatural God. God's a God of miracles. I couldn't have enough time to share with you what God has done in our lives. We've been raised up in the leadership, in pastoral role for 10 years in local church in the U.S. Then we're sent out by the network of churches, just like Every Nation, and to the Eastern Bloc country. We served there for another good 6 years. And after that, we were sent from that church, from that country, all the way to China. And we were there for 20, some almost 30 years now. So we've been serving the local church and serving in the Eastern Bloc country for almost entirely, maybe 40 some years. And out of that, we started with nothing. And I want to give God all the glory that we have achieved the financial freedom. Financial freedom, by the way, is not the amount of the money you have. The financial freedom is that you are free from the money. Come on, somebody say amen. That means you're not bound by it. You know, Paul says, I can live in a base, I can live in abundance. I learned the secret about contentment. So when you become contentment, I recognize that at the beginning when Jen and I first went out to the mission field, we gave up a very lucrative job seen in the U.S. We both were making income over six figures combined salary. That's 35 years ago. I'm talking about not today. Today we'll be talking about eight figures. But during that time, six figures is a large sum of money. But Jen and I, God called us. We gave up our career, and we went to the Eastern Bloc country, and we served there. And by faith, you know, we work with what we have. But we have gone through some financial challenges, but nevertheless, we found out that God was just so faithful. His word says that if you seek my kingdom, my righteousness, everything will be added on to you. I'm not a prosperity teacher. I want you to know that I'm a faithful servant. I want to serve God someday. He can say, my good and faithful servant. See, the servanthood is not coming from how much you have. It's coming what you give out of your lack. And at that time, we really running out of our resources because we both gave up our jobs. But one year later, and there's a need in the country that we served. And with leadership we served under was Pastor Rain, and they need to build a mission center. And Jen and I, we talked about it. We said, we're going to tighten up our belt. We're going to really serve. We're going to really be just very conservative and be frugal for the whole year, so we will be able to come up with the money and to donate to build that mission center. That mission center is still standing strong after 33 years. And we have trained three generations of leadership. In fact, at this time, in October, we went back. We saw the three generations. First generation is the parents that right now they're grandparents. They're in the 50s. They were our disciples when we were there. And the second generation, they're in their 30s. They're the senior pastor of our local churches. And the third year is the teenagers, and they're being raised up. So we had the honor to see that three generations being raised up by that mission center. When Jen and I, we just tightened up our belt for the whole year. I ate a lot of spaghetti that year. And that's mainly what I ate, spaghetti upon spaghetti upon spaghetti. I didn't know how bad it was for me then, but I do know now. But anyway, that the whole thing, we saw God's grace in us. And lo and behold, out of that situation, God began to prosper in a sense that God wants us to give even more. 10% is the minimum. Actually, New Testament didn't teach about 10%. New Testament didn't teach about tithing. New Testament teach about give it all, forsake all, and follow me. You see, what my desire is that someday I will give it all. If I'm not giving it all right now, I will give it all. One of the guys in the Latrobe in the U.S., long story short, I'm going to make 2 minutes story about him, that he felt the Lord put in his heart that when he tithes, he's actually... The Lord is saying to him that Lord said to Latrobe, says, listen, I will give you 90% of what belongs to me, and I will only keep 10% what belongs to me. This is what God said to him. I will let you keep the 90% what belongs to me, and I will only keep the 10% that is belong to me. So when Latrobe heard that, he feel the Lord, why do I have to keep the 90% that belongs to you? Why shouldn't me giving you 20% and keep the 80%, 30% keep the 70%, 40% and keep the 60%, all the way to the point where you keep the 90% and I will keep the 10%. Now, this is a true story. You can Google it. And what happened, long story short, that he actually started giving more and more and more. God just prospered him in the late 1960s and 70s when we had the Vietnam War. He designed, patented the machinery that would be able to build runways and so the airplane can take off and all that. So anyway, he made a tremendous money to the point that his 10% was greater than his 90%. I can't imagine someone who said that this belongs to me. Because the Bible says, if I want to take, God says, you fool, if I take your life tonight, what do you have left for yourself? What can man do to exchange for his life? So when I say this money is my money, I was just a fool. Because tonight, when I go to bed, tonight, I may never wake up. What does the money really belong to? It belongs to God. We have a Chinese saying that this is my 我的血汗钱. If you're not Chinese, you understand. 血 means blood, 汗 means perspiration or sweat. This is my blood and sweat and tears, money. No, it's not your blood and sweat. If you stop breathing, you have no blood and you, they have no sweat. You see, there's something that we have to be really understanding. What God is saying to us is, oh my, I just entrust you with that. So the second thing leads to me to understand, not only that he is the owner, but he wants me to be a good steward. I'm a good steward of his money so I can be faithful in it to advance his kingdom. So long story short, we made that commitment to Pastor Bruce and Terry, and we feel tremendous joy. So today I want to share with you the part one of the, actually it's a series four, but anyway, the first one is what God put in my heart. It's called the joy of giving. Now, giving is one thing, but the joy of giving is something else. How many of you that willingly say, I want to give, but give out of the cheerfulness, to give out of the joy? How many of you raise your hands? You can fake it, no problem. So that's what we are right now. That's what we feel, that God, if you can help me to let them see what we see. My wife and I, we are real estate investors, even though we're missionary for 40 years. Our passive income, we only need 10% to live on. The passive income we have, we only need 10% to live on. Because we haven't changed our lifestyle in the last 40 years. I have ability to buy the best, most expensive car, but I have no need to it. I have no desire. See, there's a desire involved with our money. I took Pastor Rain to America in 1991, and he was on the he was in the one big supermarket, not supermarket, but department stores. And I was very excited. I was 39 years old at the time. I had a bundle of money in my pocket. I wanted to just, buy anything that Pastor Rain would like to have, because it was right after the collapse of the communism and the Eastern Bloc country. Basically, they lost everything. They didn't have anything. They were darn poor. So when I brought him to the U.S., I said, whatever you see the department store, I will buy it for you, Pastor Rain. He was 20 years older than me. He was 59 at the time. By the way, he's 91. I'm 71 today. And we just saw each other last year. We had given each other huge, big hugs. He still loved me. I still love him. But anyway, at that time, he walked through the whole department store. I could see him just walking through, looking through all the shelves. Then he looked through all the shelves. And I would just follow him like a little puppy dog. And with my money, I just say, what do you like? What do you like? What would you like to buy? At the very end, he stopped at a shelf. He stopped there and he put his hands like this. And he closed his eyes. I said, wow, maybe he spotted something and he just prayed about it to spiritualize it. But long and behold, he opened his eyes, he looked at me, he said, brother, I hate to tell you this. Now, he was in America, right? From his Eastern Bloc country. He said, brother, I hate to tell you this. Your department store is full of the things I don't need. Let me say it one more time. Your department store is full of the things I don't need. I was 39 years old. Tears start coming down my streams. I got all this money in my pocket. It just hit right between my eyes. Forget about your money in your pocket. I have no desire what you show me here. He was only 59. 33 years ago. I never forget to this day how much that impacted me as an individual at 39 years old. I said, God, that's what I want to be. It's not financial freedom. It's not how much money I can own to the point I can say, yes, I got enough. No, financial freedom is that all the money you give it to me, whether more or less, there is no selfish worldly desire to spend on my own. I have a financial freedom. The money, it belongs to you. The money is good. Everything I buy, everything I do, is going to be invested into your kingdom for the advancement of your kingdom. Can somebody say amen? Let's shout amen one more time. Hallelujah! I know if you don't like the sermon, I can preach to myself. It's no problem. Okay. So anyway, with that in mind, I want to share with you the series level 1, 2, 3, 4. Four levels. Number one is called startup. The startup giving. Number two is the stewardship giving. Number three is the sacrifice giving. Number four is the strategic giving. Now, we're going to only talk about the startup giving today. Now, I have the scripture from Acts chapter, I have a Matthew chapter 6, and because it's a long scripture, so I want to just highlight it. Basically, it talks about that if you're giving a charitable giving, make sure you don't want to just show people. You want to just present it. You don't want to be in such a way, brag about yourself. No, you're doing it for the Lord. Let that be a glory to God. So it's not giving so that I can say, look at how wonderful a giver I am. It's giving because you love God so passionately. Everything you have is His. You live and breathe for Him. That's the entireness of your life, is to please Him. God, everything I have is yours. My talent, my gifting, my energy, my strength, my physical body, my marriage, my everything, including my money, is all yours. So that is what the scripture says. And then, of course, later on, it says that do not lay up yourself treasure on earth, where the moth and the rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, the treasure and your heart are connected. Now, the treasure could be many things, but I'm sure money is one of them. That treasure connects with your heart. When you don't have the desire, when you go to the department store that you said, your store is full of things I don't need, that means my treasure is not the only earth. My treasure has already been laid up in heaven. That's where my treasure is. That's why I'm saying that. Pastor Ray didn't say that to brag about himself. He said out of his innocence, he said out of truthfulness, he said, brother, he said, I just don't see anything I need. You know, I haven't really visited department store in Taiwan for the last 8 years. Not because I don't have the money to buy, I just don't have the desire to buy. Help me with the desire. I'm sharing this not to condemn anybody, not to put you in the guilt trip, just to let you know how much I love you. I wish you could see what my wife and I have seen, that we've been blessed with the financial blessings. Most of us, one more scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 44, 45. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. That doesn't sound like just a 10%. That doesn't sound like just a tither. This is New Testament. He said that all who believe were together. I guess you are today. And had all things in common. I think we are. We have all things in common. The blood of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And sold the possessions and goods. Uh-oh, ouch. My possession is mine. My goods are mine. Divided them among all. No division. That's mine. I'm the owner. Divided them among all as anyone had need. You know, I read the scripture, I'm sure you do too, many, many, many times. We kind of just quickly read through. We don't even want to stop to ponder on it because it hurts. Because we don't know how to explain that to apply to me today. I don't want to sell what I have. I don't want to divide them among all of you. Mine is mine and yours is mine. So this for us to think about. So most of our struggle to enjoy giving because we struggle in our spending patterns. Most of us have reasonable income, but it seems we never have enough. When we consider how much our income has grown over the years, we marvel at how we made it in times past. The truth is, if we could make it then, we should be prospering now. So with that in mind, let me teach you the startup principle. Today's subject is startup. First of all, keep that in mind. You are family. I am, you are, we are family together. This is our family. So principle of successful money management have three parts. I'm going to give you just two major parts. Principle of successful money management, that's A, and the capital B, given at startup level, you are family. Okay, only just two big titles. And then in that, I will break down into small points. So principle of successful money management have principle 1, 2, 3. I'm going to quickly give you this 1, 2, 3. Okay. If you believe, and I believe this is our family, then we are part of the family. When the family have a need, we have a need. When family have something that needs to be done, we are part of it, taking responsibility for it. That's why the other day, last week, I told Pastor Bruce, I'm in. I made my pledge. You can count on me. That's the figure God put in my heart. And that's the figure we're going to give to the church. So principle number one, principle number two, principle number three. Principle number one, limited spending. Limited spending. Never live beyond your means. I know this is very simple. You probably have studied it. Probably you're even teaching it. But the question is, are you living it? Honestly, my wife and I, we've been practicing that principle for years in our marriage. Never live beyond our means. I have never borrowed money from anybody. I was never in debt, my wife and I. Yes, we do have a home mortgage, but we paid it off. 30 years mortgage, we paid it off in 15 years. Never live beyond your means. Number one, this point one. So limited spending requires never live beyond your means. Second one is control your spending with a budget. If you have not done budget, you need to do the budgeting. You need to have a budget in your every month, how much you spend. You can list any, you can imagine everything you need to spend on. Obviously, if you have a mortgage, that would be number one. If you have a renting apartment, that's number one. And of course, you have certain obligated monthly payments, list it all down. And list it all the way to the least priorities where you need to buy shoes, fashionable shoes, because everybody else has one. That's the least priority. So list all of them and see what you come up with your budget is. Now, you got to look at your income and you got to look at your expense. And so control your spending with a budget. My wife and I, we have a budget in mind. And so therefore, we kind of work around the frame of the budget. I haven't changed my lifestyle in the last 30, 40 years, even though my income has increased tremendously. But my lifestyle is still the same. Because the worldly desire is just not there. Principle number two. First, number one is limited spending. Number two is realistic spending. What's the realistic spending? Beware of credit card debt. You know, a lot of churches teach about cutting up your credit card, cut it off. You know, I'm not that legalistic at all. You can keep your credit card. You can control your credit card, but don't let the credit card control you. If you feel to the point you're out of the control of the credit card, maybe that is time to cut off the credit card. And a lot of things I share here that I may offend somebody, but I still love you. I still want you to know that I will always love you no matter what, even if you disagree. This is something just for you to think in mind. You know, my wife and I, we do have credit card, but I never really have to, my credit is good. I never have to pay late payments. It's always paying time. And I don't use that much unless it's for booking for airlines and stuff like that. It was a lot more convenient. So the reason why I do credit card, or some other people like in China, they use, you know, WeChat and they have Alipay. You know, we had a couple that went with us to Phuket. We had a vacation together. And I have credit card and he has Alipay. And his Alipay is much faster than my credit card. Everywhere he goes, even the little vendor, Alipay, yeah, Alipay. Alipay, yeah, Alipay. So boom, 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 boom. It's so convenient for him. I said, how much have you spent this whole week with us on the Alipay? I don't know, but it's easy to spend on the Alipay. See, that's the question that I have for you. When you find out spending is so easy, you're only going to find out when you get the bill is so hard. Can somebody say amen? Now, so what I'm doing this is crazy. You can laugh at me. I have a credit. I can apply a credit card easily. You can get a $50,000 US credit. They want my credit. They want my spending. Let's just use NT. I have a credit card give me 500,000 NT limit a month. But I know how much I spend monthly, my wife and I. I know how much I will use cash to spend. So guess what? I withdraw a 10,000 NT cash, NT dollars, and I have in my wallet. I know you're going to laugh at me. I'm an old, you know, traditional folks. So I have a 10,000. So every time I have this urge to buy something, I look at my 10,000. I put 2,000 out. I have 8,000 left. And I have another urge to buy something. I take 8,000 out. I put another 1,000. I got a 7,000. At the very end, I have such an urge to buy that thing. But I look at it, it's only 2,000 and it costs 5,000. Forget it. But if I have a credit card, I will buy it. When you have money in hand, it's a lot more realistic to you than it is credit card. Credit card is like it's just like a plastic. I can just spend, and at the end of the month, hopefully, you can pay for it. Okay, whatever that is worth. So do not operate in the spirit of a covetousness. That's the most important part. Boy, look at that car. I wish I could have one just like his. That's where the problem is. Honestly, I'm not a saint. I have done it. Back in those days, I want to have a car. I insisted to buy that car. My wife vetoed it. The money was donated for us to buy a van, but I want to buy a sedan. That happened to be that sedan is what I like at the time. You know, 20 years ago, Lexus was still very popular. So I want to buy a Lexus. My wife said, what do you want to buy Lexus for? You are a minister. You are a pastor. You're going to be hosting pastors. You know, Lexus is not going to do that for you. Buy a Buick van. You can sit about 8 people in that, especially Chinese size. And so therefore, we struggle for quite some time and argue and try to threaten her lives and do everything, and she wouldn't budge. She said, you know what, Sonny? If you want to buy it, it's your choice. But if you ask me, I wouldn't buy it. I don't want to do anything without my wife's concurrence, because I don't want to create an internal issue between us. So long story short, I never bought it, but I always look at other people's Lexus. For a long time, yes. In fact, I traveled to the north part of China. We happened to have a sister in the church that sells Lexus. She said, Pastor, I can give you a real good deal. And I will make arrangements to get that car shipped all the way to your city for free. Boy, my heart was pounding. And I just said, yeah. And the money is already donated to me. I can buy any car I want. They didn't give me a restriction. They just said, buy anything you want. But with that, I still couldn't convince my wife. She says she's Jews. She's a Jewish people. She's Jews. She needs the three signs. No, she's not a Jew. But anyway, that one sign is not enough. Long story short, I didn't buy Lexus. Lo and behold, God later on gave us a car. Again, let me just share this real quick. I got a lot of story, but it was real quick on this. We were in America, met with one of the businessmen, and he asked me, he said, brother, he said, what do you do for entertainment? Because you don't play golf, you don't do a lot of things. What do you do for entertainment? I think about it, I said, honestly, I don't even know, I don't even have entertainment. He said, what do you really like to do in your spare time? I said, you know what? In America, actually, I like to drive. You may laugh at me, I like to drive. Because compared to driving in Taiwan, driving in America is a treat. So I like to drive thousands and thousands of miles. To this day, I'm going back to the U.S. next month. I'm going to be driving a couple of thousand miles. So he said, really? Now I found out he was a car dealer. So he said, you know what? I'm going to give you a car. Just so that car you can drive. You know what? I got that car, and that car has got all the whistles and bells. I mean, like 16 speakers. I don't even know how to handle that car. The power is so powerful, 287 horsepower. I mean, it just goes, you know, I can go zoom easily to a very, very fast speed. So anyway, long story short, when I went back and I look at Lexus, I don't even care to Lexus anymore. You see, what happens is God will give it to you if you are willing to die to that desire. When I finally died to that desire, no more Lexus. God gave me this car with 16 speakers with the bells and whistles and everything. And guess what? I sold that car 2 years ago. It was like a little, not, I can't say my girlfriend because I got a wife. So it's something that's so close to me. When I sold it, I made tons of money. So I donated to the missions. Okay, so do not operate in the spirit of covetousness. Number three, principle three, planned spending. Do not spend money that you did not plan to spend. Sounds like a little bit of a tongue twister. Do not spend money that you did not plan to spend. Don't all of a sudden I feel led. You know, one time I was school in a church, everybody, you know, used this jargon. I feel led. So one time the pastor at the end of the service, he got the lead. He stood there. He asked all the congregation come forward to feel it so everybody can feel led. Isn't that something? I went forward too. And ever since that, I never say I feel led anymore. Okay. Always use a grocery list when you shop. We just went to Costco yesterday. My wife's got a list of 10 items. That's all she buys, that 10 items. If we don't have a list, we walk around with that cart. We wish we had a bigger cart. And you know, when she walked there, she and I, we kind of have this little joke. Never shop when you're hungry. Because when you're hungry, you want to buy the whole Costco. Okay. B is a major thing that I'm going to shout up after that. Giving at the startup level because you are family. That's what the capital campaign is all about. We are family. Right? We're family here. So therefore, church has a need, that means, what's my responsibility? given because you are part of the family. Okay, so with that in mind, let's take a look. The blessing of the family are in your life. Now, church is a family. Every nation church here is a family. Let's take a look at the three areas, the two areas, the family that really bless you. The blessing of the family are in your life. Number one, the spiritual covering. Now, the church is a spiritual covering to us. It's a shelter of a spiritual covering. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Do you realize the leader actually watch out over your souls? Now, I'm a pastor myself, so I watch out the souls in all the churches that I'm overseeing. They watch over for your souls as those who must give account. Someday, Romans chapter 14, you talk about you're going to face God one-to-one. You're going to give an account. But when I'm a pastor to you, I'm watching your souls as if I'm going to keep account for you. God, let me explain to you why he was in debt. Let me explain to you why he divorced. Let me explain to you, God, why he aborted the baby. And I know I'm getting a little bit sensitive. Everybody starts sweating, so I must move on. So let you know, watching over you is one of the responsibilities of a shepherd. And we are benefited by having a shepherd in this household, Pastor Bruce and Terry. The blessing of the family, and the next one is the food of the Word of God. God feed the Word to us week after week after week after week. We are fed by the Word of God. So Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is a church God purchased with his own blood. And God has commanded the leaders and pastors to shepherd over the flock that he died for, every one of us. Boy, what a privilege to be in the church like that. That's why I'm part of the family. The next point, strengthen and support of the leaders and staff. We have leaders, we have staff here. I mean, they are our support. They are to strengthen us. They are to counsel us. They are after service, pray for us. They laugh with us and they cry with us. They invite us out for dinner, for lunch. They invite us to come to the care group. That's also a benefit of being part of the family. So the blessing of the family are in our lives. So therefore, we committed to supporting the family. Okay, given because you are part of the family, number two is take ownership for the progress of the family. So now the progress of the family is we need a bigger facility. This facility is no longer for our use at the end of June. So therefore, we have a need right now. So we need to see how we can help take ownership for the progress of the family. The family is going to grow. Every nation is going to grow. We're going to expand. We have more classes for the equipping. So what do? We support that. So take ownership. I have two little points. Number one, desire to see families succeed. I just mentioned it. We're committed to the success of every nation church here in Taipei. Number two little points is amazing that somehow other people don't see it the way you do. And you say, God, if I see it, I want to tell them. If I can give, they can give. If I can give sacrificially, they can give sacrificially. Okay. So before you begin to tithe, setting aside something before you get to the church. In other words, I'm always have something set aside. I'm not just preparing the check for the tithing. I'm preparing something on that side. Now, very good illustration is we just had an earthquake. How many of you at this earthquake, you have previously set something aside? So the earthquake comes, you can say, here's the money. Help with the need in Hualien. I'm hoping I can go next week. I want to be part of the package. I want to be part of the box packer, translator, whatever I need to do. If they still accept someone like me, this old, 72 years old, I'm willing to go. So anyway, have you set something aside? 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul said to the Corinthian church, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. First week of every month. Storing up as he may prospered, that there will be no collection when I come. If Apostle Paul walk in today and he say, hey, Hualien needs a need of $50,000. Can we just come forward right now, put in this donation in this box? Let's get a $50,000 to Hualien right now. Now, not until we set something aside, or we have the tithes. We don't have general offerings. We just have the tithes. So set something aside in your life. My wife and I practice that. Set something aside for this cause when we need a capital campaign. We have something set aside for it. Set something aside or mention that. Number two, remembering that he is your source of strength. God is your source of strength. So therefore, when I give out something, I know God, to whom much is given, much is required. God bless me so he can make a blessing out of me. I'm just simply a channel of blessing. What I want to make sure is that I'm not the source, but I'm the channel. I want to make sure the channel is not stuck, that it cannot flow. If you want to go your water pipe, the water is not coming out because in the pipe something's stuck there. You're going to plug it. You're going to get the things out of there. The pipe can flow. The water faucet can flow. Do we have something stuck in our pipe that would not allow us to flow? So that's something I want to share with you. Remember, he is your strength, your source of strength. Number three, acknowledge that all you have is God, is God's. I've already mentioned that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Everything we have is God's. If God take my life tonight, everything I own, everything is all his. It's going to be in my will. Now, this last part is everyone starts somewhere. So that's what I want to share with you. Very important. My help comes from the Lord, whom made heaven and earth. In other words, your help will come from him. So you can start now. Even the widows with a little thing, she offered. So let's start somewhere. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in them. Everything we see is all God's anyway. I'm living today. My body is his. My talents are his. My gifting is his. My anointing is his. My language skill is his. My money is his. My marriage is his. Everything I see in this world is his. So therefore, given to him, it's not a problem. So, three little points, then I'm done. Number one, you can write it down. Do what you can. At this point, you ask God, what can I contribute to his capital campaign? I want to do what I can. I've already made a pledge myself, my wife and I. We've already done our part. We want to challenge you. Have you done your part? Do what you can. Number two, do that consistently. Do not just do it for a season, but do it all the time. My wife and I, in the last 33 years, serving out in the field, we want to continue to make sure we're givers. Not only we contribute to here in Taipei, we also contribute there in Guam. We want to be a contributor. We want to help. Not only am I helping financially, but I want to help to serve. Is there any way I can serve the local church? So do that consistently. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Basically, 9-7 talk about God will give you the abundance. You will be a cheerful giver. The last one, but not least, do that with joy. 2 Corinthians 9-7, King James Version. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay. Again, this whole scripture talk about the giving out of what you have. God will give you so much grace that you give so abundance out of that grace so you can give it all. That's what Paul said to Corinthian church. So do whatever you can, do that consistently, and do that with joy. So this is what I want to share with you this morning about giving, the joy of giving. The Lord put it in my heart because I love all of you. I love this church. And I know we really truly have a need. And it's better for me as a saints of this church, as a member of this church, to bring that exhortation. Because I'm totally equal with you. I'm no better than you. We're all part of this family. We're all going to contribute towards so we could have a new place to worship. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, if you have been going through financial troubles, and you are just counting day by day, you try to make an ends meet, and you say, Pastor Timothy, I don't know how I can give. I can't even make a living. I can't even survive. Let the Lord speak to you this morning. Let the Lord be the one that helps come from Him, as we just read the scripture. Let you see God, Lord, that you owns the earth. Everything in within is yours. God, I want to just trust you to step out to say, God, widow's mite. She just had a little bit, but she's giving to you. God, this is what I have. I want to give it to you. Let you be that person to say, God, I belong to this family. I'm not just a visitor. Now, if you are, that's fine. But if I'm not, I want to be part of it. I believe out of this preaching, out of this word, God's going to anoint the word. Those people who receive that word gladly, with joys, with joyfulness, with the faith to believe and step out, I believe God will demonstrate a miracle in your life. I don't want to make any so-called prosperity promises, but I want you to know God has never failed Jen and I, never ever failed us. We left both jobs with nothing in our hands, and today God has prospered us to the point that we want to give it all. My goal is to give out 90%. So if the Lord is speaking to you this morning and you believe that God is putting your heart to that, make that step, I want you to have a chance to come forward later on. I will be able to lay hands on you or pray for you. Now, those of you who are visiting, I don't want you to feel any pressure. You may not even don't understand what we're talking about here. But if you feel the Lord, if you are really true, God, if you are real, and this man standing there speaks so confidently about the personal relationship with you, I want that personal relationship. I wanted to know Jesus. I want to have an encounter with Him so that I can encounter that powerful demonstration of His generosity, that mercy, that grace, that kindness in my life as well. If you are those people, I want you just to kind of gently just kind of raise your hand so I can see where you are, because I definitely want to pray for you. I believe today you will be saved if you have not given your life to the Lord. The platform is open to everybody after service, and I'm going to stick around to serve you. My wife and I and the eldership and the leaders of this church, we are here to serve you. If the Lord is putting your heart, let us all stand up. Let's do the final prayer. Father, I praise you and thank you, God. I know you are God of Almighty. Father, we are not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. Father, we are so grateful you gave us a family here. You gave us a pastor that really loved the flock. You gave us a family that can really bless one another. We're gathering is not just once a year, a Christmas event or Easter Sunday event. We get together because we are part of the family. If one suffer, we all suffer. If one prosper, we all prosper. If there's a need, we all have a need. Let us contribute to the need at this very moment of church needs a new facility. I bless you, God, to give me the opportunity to share from my heart. I ask Holy Spirit to minister to every one of us that come this morning and those who listen online. I really believe, God, that you are going to do a miracle upon miracle upon miracle in this house, just like you did in Jen and I, our lives. I cannot express how much, how grateful I am to be able to serve you for the last 40 years with the joy of giving, with the joy of serving. Thank you, Jesus, for your loving grace. Thank you, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God the clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.